make a way for you. Sing it now, church.
Of the Lord tonight. I tell you what, did we take an incredible trip here Wednesday night? I tell you the truth, it just it's camp meeting time again tonight too. So I'm glad you're here. I know that you're glad you're here. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Isn't it good to be the house of the Lord? I was just as I was singing this song, I hope Brother Ben Davis won't mind me saying this tonight, but a couple of Sunday mornings ago, Glenn and I were sitting behind Sister Davis and their little boy. And he had taken his shirt off, his top shirt, and he had, of course, a T-shirt on. And he got the notion in his head he wanted to put that shirt back on. And he wanted to button it himself. And it's all I could do just to stay in the sanctuary from watching that child try to button his shirt. He had the top button buttoned in the top buttonhole. And he was feeling so proud of himself. He grabbed his mama by the shirt, or by the blouse. He said, look what I done, look what I done. And I just thinking about this song, sometimes we think, Lord, you just take the day off, I got this. And we realize that it's such a mess. We need him every step of the way. We need him every breath we take. Do you realize that you need him more than anything in this world? We need him. Give him a big hand clap of praise tonight if you love him with all your heart. Sing that second verse.
Well, if you got burdens,
oh, sing it now, church.
That you can bear. Oh, and
that's right.
You got problems that seem more than you say.
Take more. Now, why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord on Saturday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Play a little bit more of that, guys, if you will, Lord. Let's look at our prayer request tonight, if you'll stand with me just for a few minutes. Brother Tom Horniak has the flu tonight. I want to remember him in prayer, and I want to remember Sister Mary, that the Lord would just be with her, protect her from the flu. A lot of that going around, a lot of folks just about all over the area has just got a lot of flu symptoms, bronchitis and different things. So certainly want to pray for our church family and those that are being requested prayer for. Brother Brandon Green's wife been very sick and request prayer from the assembly here. So we certainly pray for her that the Lord would be with her. Sister Linda Jablonski request prayer for Kara. Also a very special unspoken request the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Want to pray for Rhonda Coleman, who is on life support. She suffers diabetic complications. So we want to just commit that unto the Lord tonight. Want to pray for Bobby, if it's Casper or Carper, I'm not for sure exactly what that is. But anyway, he's from Ohio. He broke his tailbone, in need of prayer, in a lot of pain. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight as we pray. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about, how many of you believe that we're serving a God that's mindful of your situation? Whatever it is, we know that we're serving an all-sufficient Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that the older I get, the more I realize that it's all about Him. Everything revolves around our Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad you realize that? And your life centers around Him. I'm so glad for that tonight. Brother Brad Yontz, come tonight, pray. Listen about the presence of our Lord into this service. We'll commit all these needs unto our Lord. I believe He cares about you tonight, don't you? Brother Brad, God bless you, buddy.
Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for an opportunity we have to come in Your service, Lord. Lord, we pray may You feel welcome in this service, Lord, to walk these aisles. You see every need of every person here. You've seen the hand that was raised and what was behind the hand, Lord. God, I pray may You take full control of this service, Lord. You see the request in my hand. Lord, You see each one. I pray, God, may You move according to Your perfect will. Be with the service, anoint the congregation, Lord, singing, Lord, a special singing. But most of all, anoint Brother Donnie tonight, God, help him to get aside, Father, to speak to us the things we have need of. Lord, I just pray that You just meet every need. We just give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I meant to read this card, and it was laying there, and I didn't see it in time. But Sister Joy Livingston, this is to the church family. Just want to thank our Lord for hearing our prayers once again this week while I was in the hospital. Thank You for all Your prayers, calls, and the fruit basket. I am doing so much better. Love you all. Sister Joy Livingston sends that in. So we praise the Lord for that tonight. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we're going to receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. So glad to have Sister Brandy Anthony visiting here from Louisiana tonight. God bless you. Give her a nice hand tonight, visiting from Louisiana. And still have some of our folks from Canada that's still in the service with us. I guess they've stayed over there. They have a song for us tonight, if they could put that together. I don't know if they do or not, but if they can, somebody let Brother Brad Yontz know. He's going to find out, and we'll try to get you a spot worked in tonight. We'd love to hear you sing if you could. Now, let me make this announcement. This is in regard to all the singers here at the church, singers that wish to practice through the week and use the audio board of the sound system. You are able to do that. The board is locked in such a way as the user can turn the board on and adjust the volume slides on the board for singing and instruments. The only adjustments not allowed are the EQ adjustments, and a password is needed to do this. One of the reasons this board was purchased was the ability to lock this board and to keep people from getting into areas on the board that they do not need and making devastating adjustments that are only found when a service has begun and it disrupts the service. So you are at liberty to practice. You can use the sound system. I think there were just some questions involved in that, and that has been made available if you want to come and practice. And if you want to sing, we do ask you to practice for our sakes. Practice for our sakes and for your own sake. Practice. That's right. Is that okay to say that? Practice. Practice, practice. And Lord knows a lot of us need a lot of practice, don't we? Amen. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to sing a song tonight. The holy hills of heaven, they're calling us. Going to a place, won't be no more sound systems, won't need them. Is that right? Won't need no guys to try to run them for us. Bless their hearts. They do a wonderful job, and we appreciate all the effort that goes into doing all this. Amen. The holy hills of heaven call me to mansions bright across the sea. Oh, Let's just sing this little chorus together tonight before we change the order of the service. Have our song style, how they would have those arranged. What a day that's going to be. You know, we're here in 2013. And I never thought we'd be here at this time, Brother Terry, did you? But here we are. And we're still pressing the battle. Aren't you glad? But what a day it's going to be when all the battles are over. All the trials are over. Let's sing that little chorus tonight just before we change the order of the service. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Sing it now. Oh, what a day that will be. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me and leads me through, oh, what a day. Lord. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brother Brad, do they have us a song? Do you guys, ladies and gentlemen, do you all have us a song tonight? You don't. Well, that's terrible. That's just absolutely terrible. We wish you had us one tonight. I know Sister Laura's here, and I know she has a song. And she's not from Canada, but she's from Arizona. She's from here, really. She just visited in Arizona for a little while with Brother Brad and Sister Molly. But Sister Laura comes to give us a song tonight, if you would. Give her a nice hand as she comes to sing for us. We'll go right on into the service. Let's enjoy our song tonight.
There's a list a mile long of all my sins and everything that I've done wrong. I'm so ashamed. There's nowhere left for me to hide. This is the day I must answer for my life. My fate was in the judge's hands. But then he turned to me and said, I know you. I love you.
Sing this chorus.
He said, I love you. I love you. That's what Calvary said. I love you. love you, written in red. I love you, I love you. That's what Calvary said.
Grateful tonight that you have expressed over and over, time and time again, the greatness of your love toward us. We're so sorry that we question at times, do you love us? Do you care? That human element about us that when we go through hard times and difficult times, and we allow the enemy to begin to put fear and doubt and frustration in our hearts. And we wonder, where are you? Do you even care? It's amazing to me that you don't get offended at us and so hurt at us the way we do other people. We do something for people and then they question our loyalty and our love. We get so upset at them. But Lord, how loving you are. We've questioned you time and time again. Yet you keep coming back and reassuring us. We love you for that, Lord Jesus. I pray that you'd take your word tonight, Lord, and speak to us, Father. May we be enlightened by our gathering together tonight. We've not come to see one another. We've not come, Lord, to just fellowship with each other, but we've come to sit at your table. We've not only come to feed, though. We've come to worship. We've come to love, adore, and honor, and give you the preeminent part of this service. So may you take our thoughts now. May you take everything that we are as we commit it to you now, Lord Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I'm just happy to be in the house of God. Isn't it a privilege for us? It certainly is. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12, if you would, tonight. We'd like to read the scriptures that we read on Sunday, Romans chapter 12, and also Ephesians chapter 4. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You mean we're to prove that? You mean God is not going to be the one to prove, it's not just all on God to prove what His perfect will is? We're supposed to prove that too? That is what the Bible said, right? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. From these passages of scripture, I'd like to use two little simple words tonight. Understanding me. Now the point of this sermon is not that you all will understand me, but that I can understand me. And there's another part, that you all can understand you, since you are your biggest enemy. So if you can understand how to defeat you, you'll have quicker victory, longer lasting victory. God bless you. You may be seated. What a great thing God made when He made a man. A human being, a very complex creature of God. A creature which has senses that give him the ability to contact animal life and animate nature, to contact his earthly home, to contact other mortal beings, and yet another part about him which is given to contact a supernatural realm, giving a brain, a mind which is so super intelligent compared to every other creature that the Lord placed upon the earth. To make that man, that human being, that race of humanity, have a brain with such capacity and such ability to comprehend, to think, to digest, to process thoughts, figures, symbols, so many things, it's a miracle within itself. And then God chose to divide that mind, that brain, into two realms, in a conscious and a unconscious or subconscious level. Then God, knowing that there would be so much of our life that would need to be processed by a level of our mind which would be conscious, and then much more would be needed to be processed in our life in a more subconscious level. And God, knowing that that could be used to our disadvantage, but yet He chose to go that way, also knowing that if we were properly trained and taught, that advantage could actually become, that disadvantage could actually become an advantage once we understood it. Now, I imagine when Brother Branham began to break into these things so many, many years ago, and preached them. He was considered a mystic anyway. He was considered the type of individual that probably a lot of folks, they honored him. Many, they honored him, even if they disagreed with him. Even his critics said he was humble and didn't want money and didn't want this and that, but he was just sincerely wrong. But you imagine the type of man that he was. He was so greatly misunderstood because he was able to walk in a realm and contact a realm of the supernatural that most people had never even heard anything about. But it wasn't just the contact of the supernatural that would have overwhelmed people, as it would have been also the contact of the natural, which was here and had been here for many, many countless of years, but yet people did not know it. But it was mainly the people on this other side over here, the witches and these type of people, that had said this world existed. So you can imagine then that all preachers had totally separated themselves from anything about the psyche of humanity. They had totally separated themselves from anything about reading thoughts and perceiving thoughts and that sort of thing. So here comes a man who claims that he's met an angel of God, claims he's gifted by God to go into these realms and to perceive, to hear thoughts that people are saying in their heart, to understand and to say things and repeat things that your doctor told you this week. So it would have been very, very strange to the people that these things would have happened to. Now, depending on the way you lean, it would have determined whether or not you would have believed this was God, or you would have believed basically he was a soothsayer. And no doubt many of the people did. But I've often wondered how much more that the prophet actually knew and understood about many realms that he could not tell us because the people were not capable of receiving it.
because it would have so thrown him into a more misunderstood position than what he already was. So God allowed him to say so much, and then he only could go so far, and then that was the end of it. But I believe truly that we as the people of God in this hour, surely we ought to be farther progressed than what they were in the days of Pentecost, or even in the early days when Brother Branham came on the earth. Should we not be more advanced than that? So then if we are, then that we should have be able to understand and be able to comprehend more of what God has said about us, what God thinks about us, what God wants us to be, and truly what God wants us to become. But, you know, I find it amazing as I look at these things and I realize how parallel that much of science, much of creation, much of geology, of what they understand about the earth and its history, much about animal life, plant life, much about all of this, the more you go into it and understand that God actually gave his prophet some insight of that, and he was able to drop a little bit here and a little bit there. And when it was spoken, he might make a remark here, and he might not make another remark pertaining the same thing for 6 months later, or maybe a year later, or 2 years later. But yet God knew that there would be a computer one day. Thank God there would be software. There would be men that would be able to study it. And instead of just sharing that quote maybe once, and then they would hear something comparatively the same subject matter 6 months later or a year later, they might remember it or they might not. But they would be gifted and have the ability with the software and all, where they would be able to type it in. And all of a sudden, all these things would start coming together that it actually laid there in the message for all of these years. And you say, my goodness, where has that been? It's been laying there all along. But you know that there had to be a reason why that God would allow it to be this way. Now, we know we're living in a time when around the ranks of the message, many folks are falling away. Many folks are not sure they believe this message anymore. Many are going back to here and that and the other. And to me, that's all part of where we are. Because before the children of Israel got ready to actually go into their land, to possess the land, Brother Mim tells us that God changed his mind about his word, that God allowed Balaam, that false prophet, to get among the people to show that many of them did not have an inheritance on the other side. So don't be surprised that people are going to fall away, they're going to turn their back. It's all part of the signs of the Exodus time for the bride. It's all part of the signs that our getting going home time is almost here. But there's got to come a falling away. We've talked about it for years. We preached about it for years. Friend, don't let it shake you. Don't let it move you, because this one, that one, the other one's turning away. Our faith should not be in this man or that man or anybody else anyway. Our faith should be in the promises of the Word of God. So we know God said these things are going to happen. So we pray for those people. Hope and pray that many of them can come back. No doubt many of them can. I'm sure many of them already crossed the line. But for those who can, we trust that they will. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, you can do whatever you want to do. If you want to turn and go the way, it's entirely up to you. I'll pray for you. I feel sorry for you, but I've got my eyes on the prize. I'm more in love with Jesus than I've ever been. This word is more real to me than it's ever been, and I think if it gets any gooder, I don't know how much more I can take of it. It's amazing. Folks are starving to death. Folks are turning away. Folks are backsliding. Other folks are spiritually fat. They waddle into church and they waddle out. And we're thinking, my Lord, what a time to be a believer. What a time to be a child of God. What a time to live in this age. It's a glorious time, isn't it? But it really depends on who you are now and where you're sitting and what you're listening to and all of that. So you see now that God, if God is bringing an understanding, and God allows by his mercy signs to break into certain things in order to benefit the human race. And I'm grateful for that. Brother Van brings us a perspective about the medical part, that he prayed for the doctors that find a cure for cancer, that find a cure for many of these diseases. That does not conflict divine healing at all. That showed his love for humanity. That didn't show just a love for his office as a preacher. He wasn't jealous that if he didn't get to pray for all of them, he didn't want them to get well. He wanted them to get well whether he got to pray for them or not. It just showed that he loved the human race. Now you imagine now how much that science has advanced in the physiology part, in the physical part, in the mental part, in the psychological part, as much as they've been able to advance and find out more things about the mind, the brain, the intelligence and the body and all the workings of all of that, then we know that the natural thing always parallels or foreruns the spiritual thing. So if they are finding certain things and more capabilities, as Brother Michael Bailey had sent me a little short video this week, to where they have now been able to find the part of the brain that controls the hands and the arm and all that. So people, men in the military who have an arm blown off or people who lose it by amputation, whatever it is, that they can go in with a little diode, operate on the brain, put this little diode, much, much smaller than a penny, on the top of the brain and hook a computer up to it, and this external arm on the outside will move and their thoughts will actually move this arm. Their thoughts. Here it is, a totally mechanical arm. It has joints, it has fingers, and the only thing that it can do, it can't do rather, that your hand can do is that. Other than that, everything else your arm and your hand and your elbow can do, it can do, but it can't divide its fingers like that, which I wouldn't miss that too bad, would you? But everything else, now this is something that they just broke into, that they're able to put this right on top of the brain. They operate, go to the skull, put it right on top of the brain, hook it up to a computer, and then from the brain, it, by thoughts, it moves, and it's able to shake hands, it's able to pick it up. The first one they did it on was a monkey. So here this monkey was, they did this surgery, and this monkey was sitting there, and this monkey's mind was operating this robotic arm, and he was thinking about food. So whenever he would, this robotic arm would come around and put this food in this monkey's mouth. Mama. And then they went from that and thought, if they could do it to a monkey, then what about a man? Now, if they are breaking into it in that way, what about then the supernatural of the mind of Christ coming into the body? That if by thoughts, a man's thoughts is able to operate an external piece of machinery, which is not him. Why, friend, why in the world would we stumble at God bringing his bride to a place that she's never been before? And it's not the superintelligence of man. It's not the intelligence of science, but it is the very mind which was in Christ Jesus being in the bride. Oh, thank the Lord. Now, watch this. In the angel of the Lord, Brother Bram said, there's sometimes you get in such a rut till there's no really setting right to a man. Is that right? You get to a place till subconsciously, you're disbelieving when you don't want to do that. Now, can you imagine that a person could actually get to a place that subconsciously they're disbelieving when they really don't want to do it? So you see, there is a division then of that individual. That subconsciously, they would be disbelieving, but in their first conscience, which is the logical part, they want to believe because they have a need. They have a desire. There's something going on in their life, and they're trying to believe, but the man down in the engine room does not believe. Now, you think how then, when Brother Branham dealt with this, I want you to notice this. This is 1951. 4-14-51. So he says, you get to a place that subconsciously you are disbelieving when you don't want to do that. See, so the thing to do is lay down everything and believe with all of your heart. So a person in their subconscious could disbelieve when the outside says, I believe every word he said. I believe the Bible. I believe every promise. But down on the inside, they are subconsciously believing, disbelieving what their outside says they believe. Notice this again, the inside man. Did you ever think that inside of your body is another man? Did you know that? That there's another man inside your body. It works from an intelligence here, the mind, subconsciously. Just maybe I'd happen to think and reach over here. I don't have to think about that. I just look like. Now that's where faith lays. Oh, wait a minute. You mean faith does not lay in my mind? And it does lay in my mind. But it does not lay in the conscious part. I'm convinced, friends, this is where many, many people believe this message. They believe it from their conscience level. But they don't believe believe it from their soul or in that subconscious, and people try to go to God, Lord, I need this, I need that, I need that, and they quote the word, they ask God for the promise, but they apply faith from a conscious level instead of a subconscious, and when they go to prayer, the subconscious is really doubting or fearing or questioning that it won't happen. But you know what? If it's really faith down inside that subconscious, it'll be just as automatic to you as starting your car to come to church. Amen. Notice now that's where faith lays. Again, he says, Jairus and divine healing. No matter how much we think that everybody's 100%, yet there's got to be some that isn't. And the church said, amen to that. They look this away, and some of them will wonder in their heart, just subconsciously wonder, well, that's what I pick up here. Now notice when Brother Branham would feel the reverberation back from the people, he's actually picking up their subconscious thoughts. Now for many of them, they're saying, oh, I believe, I believe, I believe. And it wouldn't be that he would hear. Notice him in discernment now, once this is opened up to you, and then you listen to the sermons and you watch the discernments, and it will seem as if though he's saying something opposite under the spirit of discernment than the way this person is emotionally reacting. And it's because their outward conscience is under the presence of the pillar of fire, and they're feeling that, so their first conscience is so ecstatic. Oh my, they're just, oh, I believe, they're shouting, they're whatever more. But really down inside their subconscious, and that's why you won't hear, thus saith the Lord, you're healed. He'll say, well, go believe God. When you hear that, oh my, go believe God, go trust God. They may shout, they may do whatever more, but in their subconscious, they was not able to connect and line those two men up. And that's why he would tell them, well, go believe God. It will be as you have believed. Which means they might get it and they might not. Watch now. Subconsciously, they wonder, well, that's what I pick up. It's what you see, you think. Well, I wonder what's happening. Well, how's that man do that? What happened? Now, he said, well, just as you do that, it comes in like this. Now he blows into the microphone against you like that, and you feel it. You say, Brother Brown, that's psychology. Uh-oh. Psychology. What is psychology? It's theology of the psych. Which is what you are. It's a part of you. And he says in the very next paragraph, I don't have it printed out here, but he says in the very next paragraph in this quote, well, if it is, Jesus used the same thing. Right. Now, think, just because we are bright does not mean that we don't have a subconscious, we don't have a feeling, we don't have a spirit, imagination, a conscience, and so on. We have all of those things just like everybody else does. And we can battle those things just like everybody else does. And if we're not careful, we'll think because we're elect, we'll get this mindset, well, God owes it to me. God owes you absolutely nothing. You get what you get from God by faith in His promised word. That's the only way God can give it. Now notice he said a person sitting in a group of people like this where faith is gathered on every side. It'll help you to get well. Now notice how an atmosphere will be able to be created and it can affect other people there that maybe are of a faith of a weaker level. But the magnetism of the faith of God would create it in such a strong way that sometimes folks in weak faith will be able to be benefited by sitting in such a meeting. Now he said there'll be people who listen at the word being taught. That'll never be in a prayer line, yet they'll get well for something happens subconsciously, maybe they don't even realize what it's all about. But yet somehow we think in our mind, it's everything we process through the conscious. I don't understand. I didn't get this. I didn't get that. And you get so tore up. You get so nervous because you don't hear one part of the service. And you'll stall over one thing that I say that you don't understand. And 15 minutes down the road, you're still behind. Because you're so tore up. Just commit it to God and go on feeding. Oh, I don't understand how this works. There's many things I don't know. I do not understand to this day how that me simply laying my hands on the sick and they will recover. But I've seen it tens of thousands of times. Should I worry over how it comes to pass? Should I fret over not understanding it? Or should I just do it? Amen. My, notice this now. So a person can actually touch faith at a subconscious level. And really their first conscience think they don't have enough faith to do it. What's this? Something happens subconsciously. Maybe they don't even realize what it's about. They'll get well. Somebody sitting and watch one of the signs of the Lord appear. And Brother Bram will snap his finger. And they'll get well. When it's faith, anything, notice now, anything that can stimulate that faith. But where is it? Subconscious. Listen, I'm going to say something. Faith is unconscious. So do all need to be knocked down in order to believe God? Faith is unconscious. So you mean I could believe and have the ability to touch God in a supernatural way and my first conscience wouldn't believe I could? Faith is unconscious. Amen. You believe it? I've learned that in years of travel around the world and meeting the peoples of all different walks. But faith is unconscious. You got faith and don't even know it. So then faith is not like having this handkerchief to where I could feel it, or this vest, or this tie, or these shoes, or faith is not like that, or this, because I would know I had it, right? I would be able to know by my feelings that I have this handkerchief. I would be able to know that I have this Gatorade, because I can see it, I can feel it, I can open the lid, and I can smell it. But if I have faith in my subconscious, I could actually have it and part of me not even know I've got it. Oh my. You got faith and don't even know it. That's right. He said Jesus Christ, no matter if he was in a storm, the gale's knocking the boat from one side to the other, he was standing in the mess of demons, if he was hanging anywhere, it never moved him. My. He walked right along as calm and quiet as he could be. Why? Or because he was the Son of God? No. He was simply unconscious of fear. Now, I don't know about you. I got to be quite honest with you. I got some moving up I need to do. I'm too conscious of fear. I'm too conscious of failure. Come on now. But get ready, unconscious, because we're getting ready to move out of here. I'll confess my need of him. Glory. Rewire my brain. He was simply unconscious of fear. Anything around him. That's right. Whether it was going to happen, whether it wasn't going to happen, he knew it was going to happen because God said so. He didn't say, oh, wonder if I prayed through. Wonder if I fasted long enough. Wonder if I did this. He just walked right on unconscious. Unconscious. That's right. He believed what God said was truth. The words must be fulfilled, and he knew what his life was to fulfill them. That's right. Oh my. And you're here to fulfill too. Just walk unconscious of fear. Walk unconscious of criticism. Walk unconscious of the world. How can this be done? How many of these help with me? Those of you who didn't raise your hand, you come up here and preach this in. If you've already arrived, I'll sit down and let you preach it. Now watch this. Walk unconscious of criticism. Walk unconscious of the world. What kind of saints would we be on this hill if we could simply obey this one quote here tonight? If we get no farther in this service, if I dismiss right now and we all go to Dairy Queen and eat some ice cream, if we could get this one quote, our lives would be totally transformed. If we would walk unconscious of fear, if we would walk unconscious of criticism, that's some of you folks' greatest battle, what folks think about you and what they say. It ain't a cigarette that gets many messages, folks. It ain't a bottle of whiskey. It ain't a woman. It's criticism. It's what people think about them. This one don't like me. That one don't like me. And you walk constantly so conscious. And that's why the devil beats you to death with it. Whew. Walk as you walk in Christ. Walk with Him. Not paying any attention to the right or the left hand. Keep moving on. Look at this year. 1954. Amen. We've preached thunders. We've preached seals. We've preached great deep things. I wonder how many deep things are laying here we've totally overlooked. Sun comes up in the church. Walk with God. Sickness strikes you. Walk with God. If the neighbor don't like you, walk with God. Just keep walking with God. Enoch one day. The first man that ever took a rapture walked unconscious of fear, walked unconscious of criticism. Imagine they must have heard it. On Enoch was a very strange, peculiar guy. He sort of lived like he was in a coma most of the time. He was comatose. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to be comatose of fear? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be unconscious? If you was in this building tonight and you were passed out and you were totally unconscious, this building could be burning down. You'd know nothing about it. Folks could be over you. You fat. You're so fat. Your jaws are so ugly. I've always not liked your face. You've got the ugliest hair I ever seen in my life. You're not even paying no attention to it. You're unconscious. You don't hear it. You don't care. It ain't bothering you. That's not a victory. But the victory is that people can do it and you hear it and you know they think it about you and you walk right on anyhow. Yeah. Walk with God. The doctor says you're going to die. Walk with God. Doctor said, well, walk with God. Just walk with God. That's all. God has promised you I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the world. He took an oath by that covenant that He gave you. That He'd confirm it. Just walk with God then. If you're suffering, just nearly ready to die, and God said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee, don't waver a bit. Go right on. God said so. That's just the unconscious faith-like. Please understand, we're not going to take the rapture with our conscience faith. We're not going to take the body change with a conscience. What are you doing? Trying to rapture. Trying to change my body. Keep on pressing. You will. You'll bust a valve or bust something or other. You know, you'll change it all right. It will be unconscious. It will be, oh glory to God, it will be unconscious to the bride. Don't you see what preachers have tried to do? They tried to produce rapturing faith in a conscious level. This move and that move and this man and that church and that ministry. Rapturing faith is not conscious faith. Only thing we can do is accept and be grateful, he says, for what he's already done for us. Oh, that's simple, isn't it? And I'm positive that many times in people's thinking, they try to make divine healing. Try to make divine healing. And so for some great outreach something, way, way. If I could only reach it. Can you imagine Jesus saying, now let me check my faith and see if I've got enough faith to do this. See if I have to fast a while. See if I've got enough faith to do it. He was perfectly unconscious of the faith that he had. But yet we link our faith constantly to the conscious world. I don't feel God. I don't feel him. And then your subconscious hears you saying this. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't feel God. God must have left me. God's, and then you're retraining it. You're feeding the stream of doubt and questions and unbelief. Glory. Oh my. But Father, I got the Holy Ghost in my soul. That's real and good. Tell your soul to move your arm. Tell your soul when you go home to feed your fat face. Tell your soul when you get in the car to start your car. Your soul can't do it. But your subconscious will. This is not just used, my friend, for everyday living. God made the subconscious to attach to you spiritually as well. Oh my. Notice he says about Jesus, he was perfectly unconscious of the faith that he had. He just spoke it and knew it would be so. So Jesus, as a man now, being filled with the Holy Ghost at the river, had to learn how to be unconscious of the faith that he had. Just like you come from your homes today. And you probably want to return to your home. Told your wife or your loved ones, I'll be back right after noon. How do you know you are? You don't try to wonder, have I got faith enough to get home? Have I got faith enough to drive my car? You just unconsciously turn your key on and drive on away and go home. It's unconscious faith that does it. That's the way it is. In Christ, we just unconscious, Lord mercy. In Christ, we just unconsciously just say, that's his word, and that settles it. Now let's look at it from a medical point of view. Your conscious mind is the part of your mind that deals with reason and logic. It is the director of your subconscious mind, which is the part of your mind that deals with energy and creation. Your conscious mind is the logical mind that functions with logic. Uh-oh. Now I see what gets me in trouble. Logic, sense, human understanding, reasoning, and so on. Oh my. You think with the conscious mind, and it is the programmer of the subconscious mind, which is the creative mind that carries out the program. Convince your logical mind so that it will send the right instructions to your creative mind. Oh my. So if you, through logic, God don't love me, God don't care for me, and you're looking at all the logical things, your subconscious, the creator inside of you, will begin to absorb this information. It does not have the ability to make logic, or it would call you crazy. It would say, with all that God's done for you, and you're wondering if he loves you or not. Now watch, the source of our ability to achieve anything we desire is the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind will accept any sustained impression, particularly fueled by emotion. Many of the deep, deep embedded things in us tonight, even from childhood, are not just erratic thoughts, things that happened, but there was some sort of deep-seated emotion that embedded that in your subconscious. Many of them don't have to happen but one time. And it's because they carry such emotional impact, it can be happen one time and so embedded in us it can take years, if ever, we get it out of us. Or something that's not as emotional, you may have to kind of program it, you know, and say it over and over and over and over and over, and then finally the subconscious takes it. But if it comes packed with a bunch of emotion, all it takes is one time. That's why some of you right now, when I mention it, your mind goes back to when you was a girl or you was a boy and certain things had happened to you and you're still feeling the effects right now. You're feeling funny right now as I'm talking about it. You know why you're feeling funny? Because your subconscious is what's emanating that feeling around you right now. Oh my goodness. Y'all gonna think I'm a mystic, aren't you? Now, notice, so any sustained impression, particularly fueled by emotion, and therefore any sustained thought in bringing it into manifestation without question, it is the task of the conscious mind, therefore, to choose carefully which sustained thoughts and impressions the subconscious mind receives. The subconscious mind does not need reason to make things happen. When an impression is made upon the subconscious mind without conscious awareness, the subconscious mind will proceed to work on it automatically. No wonder revelation is such a powerful thing to a believer. So you can sit right there and all of a sudden this drops down into your heart. It totally bypasses the conscious. The conscious was totally out of sync with it. And the Spirit of God grabs a hold of it. My, that subconscious, wham, man, it strikes your soul and says, Lord have mercy. There it is. I see it. I see it. And the subconscious grabs a hold of it. Burn them at the stake. You'll not get it out. Pour tar on them and set them on fire. You'll not get it out. Why? It's so anchored within them. You'll never get it out. Now notice what happens, though. Its effect will soon become noticeable by the conscious mind and will be interfered by it. If your conscious mind cannot accept what is happening because it reasons against it, then it will send a conflicting impression that will undo the first. So you sit here and you hear the word, it's made real, it drops down into the realm of faith, then the conscious mind, I don't understand that. How in the world could that be? You're sitting there reasoning with logic. Oh my, I don't understand. How in the world could that be? I sure don't understand how in the world that could be. And what's it doing? Then the logical part will try to undo that which has been received by faith and been quickened and made known to you. Watch this. Brother Ben said, you hear so many people say, well, if I only had faith. Faith doesn't mean long, drawn-out prayer meetings. Do you understand if you come up here for prayer tonight? I don't even have to raise my voice. I can speak as low-keyed as I am right now. And if I have authority, it's not the loudness of my voice. But if some of you don't hear the loudness of a preacher's voice, you think he ain't prayed with all of his heart. Because you think his heart is measured in volume. I doubt very seriously that Jesus prayed the way I do. I doubt very seriously that Jesus prayed the way Brother David, maybe Brother Amos, some of his other brothers. Because Jesus knew it was not how loud he screamed. He knew it was not how much emotion that he felt in it. He knew who he was. And it was the authority being able to speak the word. Now I realize some folks are, oh my, they're doing away with this, doing away with that. I'll tell you what we're doing away with. We're doing away with about a lot of junk. A lot of junk. I do not have to scream. Listen, I honestly don't have to lay hands on you. Glory to God. If that's your faith, that's one thing. If you believe it tonight, I could speak the word while you're sitting here and you could be healed right where you're sitting right now. You could be delivered. I don't care how bad you're bound up. You could be delivered by the power of the spoken word. If your first conscience and second conscience can line up together with a word and you say, Satan, out of here. Leave me alone, you devil. Notice how he says it's not by long drawn out prayer meetings. Doesn't mean long fasts. Faith is an unconscious thing. Your real faith. Uh oh.
So you mean I got a real one? And one that ain't so real? One that's hope or one that's intellectual? Don't you see, friend, where we're living from, many of us, we're living from our conscience, intellectual faith. It will reason. It uses logic. Can you see why folks are turning away from the message? This is as far as the message ever got. Logic, reason. And then when somebody questions their reason, oh my goodness, I've been deceived. Yeah, but wait before you come to the message. Oh my! Why? Logic! Reason! Faith is an unconscious thing. Your real faith, you're unconscious of it. So then I wonder when we try to reach out for prayer, for a certain thing, for an emergency situation, and we try so hard, what do we try to do? I'll show you. For the last 30, 40 minutes, whatever it is I've been preaching, my breathing has been controlled by my subconscious. But now I'm going to switch. I'm going to switch from my breathing being controlled by my subconscious, and I'm going to control it from my conscious. Am I wearing y'all out? Now watch. I'm going to let that go. Now it's back under subconscious control. Now there might be times that I would, oh glory to God, that I would need to do it. But how much greater it is when I can go right on and think, can I read this and breathe? I'm choking myself to death and die right here in the pulpit. But what am I better off to do? Let my subconscious take my rhythm of my breathing. Let him control it. Then let my conscience focus on the quotes. Let my subconscious breathe while my first conscience is reading. Oh, hallelujah! But how many times do we try to control faith from our first conscience? You devil, I'm going to believe God. And he can tell right off when you start. You ain't nothing but a bag of wind. You're scared to death. You're shaking like a leaf. He knows it's not the man down the engine room. It's your intellectual faith. You've got that certain quiver in his voice. He's heard millions of them. You've got that quiver in your voice. It's that shaky something or another. He knows a man in the engine room ain't lined up with a man on the deck. Oh, Jesus, help us, Father. Faith is an unconscious thing. Your real faith. You're unconscious of it. You don't know the faith you have got. It's an unconscious matter with you. Then you know what? It always alarms me when I hear people bragging about how much faith they think they've got. Because according to the message, you don't know how much faith you've got. So if you know how much you got, I'm scared of yours. It was never the people telling Jesus, I've got great faith. It was Jesus telling them. Right? Why? They were totally unconscious that they had great faith. Friends, for many of you, it's not that you don't have faith. Not even faith. Many of you have got mountain moving faith. You have got great faith. Many of you could stop Jesus Christ in his tracks. That's not the problem. The problem is, you try to use it from a conscious level. Well, I've not read my Bible today. I don't know if I've not prayed today. Satan hits you at a time. Oh my goodness, I didn't have time to pray last night. Oh goodness, and then you're in a dire need and your faith trying to channel. You know what you're doing? Through the conscious level. You're trying to deem yourself. Am I worthy? Did I pray? Have I paid my tithes? Have I done this? Don't you understand what you're doing? You're bringing yourself then worthy up to a certain mark. And if you deem yourself worthy, then you'll believe. But Jesus said, I know who I am. I know who I am. My faith is in this unconscious level. I didn't pray through. He said, well, I know who I am. I don't try my faith. I've got faith to do it.
He said, can you imagine Jesus questioning whether he had faith or not to stop the winds or still the waves or have faith enough to raise Lazarus up? He never questioned his faith. Jesus crossing in the boat quickly now, just a few minutes, crossing the sea. I can imagine how that was. He preached all day. That night a big storm come up on the scene like the something in a boat. And weary and tired, but never afraid. I like that. Jesus don't have to go out and fast all day and pray all day. Now I wonder, you imagine Jesus saying this now. I wonder if I've got faith enough to do this. He was unconscious. He was unconscious of the faith that he had. Friends, we're talking about the immaculate born Son of God, Emmanuel. Brother Jim, he lived in such a realm, not trying to conjure like magic. Not trying to make it from the conscious level in emotion and thought, if we can do this and feel that and do that. Well, you're trying to be a witch. But Jesus had such faith. But the depth of that faith, the strength of that faith, the purity of that faith, it was so buried within him, he was totally unconscious of it. What kind of Christians would we be if we walk this way? Will we not get sick? I'm not saying that. Will we not have trouble? I'm not saying that. Will your flesh not feel fear? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you walk in such a realm that you're unconscious. You're unconscious of the fear and you're unconscious of the ability to conquer it, which is faith. You're comatose. And don't wake me up out of this coma, would you not? Man, I've been waiting all my life to get into this. Don't wake me up now. Glory to God, I've been waiting all my life to get into this. Oh, you say that was Jesus. But let me read you the rest of the quote, you see. I wonder if I've got faith to do this. He was unconscious of the faith he had. Any men or women that ever make real warriors in the kingdom of God is perfectly unconscious to their faith. Now, do you want to be a warrior? You want to work in the kitchen peeling taters? Huh? You want to work back in the kitchen, the army of God, and then bring out the soup? Or you want to be on the front line as a man or woman, young person, young people? Do you want to be a soldier for God? Do you want to be one that will stand in this last day and stand there by God's promises? It's not, listen, friend, what people have done. They think, listen to tapes, listen to tapes, listen to tapes, listen to preaching, listen to preaching. Reading books, reading books, reading the Bible, reading the Bible. Don't you see what many of them are doing? They're working on the conscious level only. Oh my. Notice Jesus. Satan tries to catch him when most human beings would be at their weakest time to wake him up out of sleep. Now, depending on your temperament, that could be life-threatening. Some folks, it's like waking up a grizzly. Now, maybe you can be pop like that as soon as you wake up. It takes me a minute. I get phone calls, believe me, all hours of the day, all hours of the night, all hours of the morning. You can't imagine. Get them from all over the world. 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, brother from Africa wanting to fellowship. It's 9 o'clock in the day over there to him. The only fellowship I'm wanting to have is my pillar. And it ain't the pillar of fire either. It's that one I'm sleeping on. So you can imagine whenever you answer the phone, oh, brother Donnie, pray for me, and I'm just waking up. But then what in the world is going on? Who is this? Maybe I've got a flaw or something, but it just takes me a little while to get myself together. So Jesus is tired. He's weary.
in the back of the ship. And Satan said, now's the time. Remember, it was when Samson fell asleep and he woke up. He got in trouble. How many examples of sleep could we use? Satan, see how man is. So the disciples run to, oh, Jesus, Jesus, don't you even care that we perish? Imagine. What is it? What is it? The boat's nearly full of water. We're drowning. We're all. He said, where is your faith? He knew where his was. But what were they going by? Remember, he said, let us go to the other side. If they believed what he said, they knew they was going to the other side. Let me tell you something. Jesus is in this gospel ship. And he's told us, bride, let's go to the other side. Are we going to make it, bride? Yes, we're making it to the other side. Why? Because Jesus said so.
You imagine? Give me a minute, Peter. He said, can y'all accept it that Jesus was so much a man that he would yawn? Now what is it y'all wanted? Water up to here. So Jesus may be still groggy, still sleepy, but it don't matter since his faith comes from the unconscious level. I pray for people on the phone, me barely awake for certain miracles. Somebody called me here just a little bit ago, just a few weeks ago. Oh God, brother, this is going on. Pray for so and such. I have to go to the hospital. This, so. Not nobody here at the church, somebody from somewhere else. Go trying to figure out who it was. Oh God, oh, please pray. Lord Jesus, please help him, Father. Please help him. I call back in 10 minutes. Glory to God. Glory to God. He done it. I said, good. Oh, I'm so glad I didn't have to wait till my conscience got woke up. I'm glad that I didn't have to sort through and explain to me what's going on and explain to me, but you know what? In the time of their emergency, something was able to reach down inside of there, even though I wasn't even awake good, Carol wasn't awake good, but something was able to move and it moved the hand of God. Hallelujah. Notice, Brother Branham said, you keep trying to test your faith. Wonder if I've got faith enough to do this, if I've got faith. Don't test your faith. God said so, do it anyhow. God said so. Have you ever tested your faith, whether you had enough faith to come to the meeting tonight or not? You ever test your faith to see if you got enough faith to eat your supper? I doubt most of us done that. You think you'll have to fast a while and test your faith to see if you got enough faith to drive your car home? Anybody gonna come up around the altar and pray about whether you got enough faith to put your key in the ignition and start your car? Friends, what if we could start walking this way? That it would be so automatic from within us. It would be just as simple as sticking your key in the automobile. Certainly not. It's automatically. You believe it. Do you believe? Now watch this discernment. You believe that lady? Yes. Had more faith than you thought you had. See, faith is a subconscious thing, lady. Faith is not a mental act. See? It's something that you subconsciously do it. People try to look to their intellect for faith when faith doesn't lay in here. Reasons lay here. Faith lays in the soul. Can't you see why Satan wants to point us to our intellect for faith? Faith lays in the soul. Now, the trouble with your foot and leg, you believe Jesus Christ makes you well? You do? You accept it? You believe it? Had a little arthritis, too, but Jesus Christ make you well. You believe it? All right, then you can have it. Amen, amen. She just kind of had to come to herself, for the angel of the Lord was standing over her. I reckon we'd have to kind of come to ourselves, too, if he come around, wouldn't we? Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. What do you think? Out on the end of the seat, sir, you're suffering with catarrh. You believe Christ will make you well? All right, if you believe it, you can have it. That scared you! You didn't know you had that much faith. Now, that's what I want to do, is scare the liver out of Donnie. I want faith to be so buried within me that when I'm in a time of need, it so reaches out of me, it scares me. Where did that come from? That scared you. You didn't know you had that much faith. Faith is an unconscious thing. You just have faith and belief. Again, he says, your faith is unconscious. Don't press now or jump. You'll jump away from it. It's right with you. Just relax yourself and believe. Just believe now. Have faith. Brethren of the congregation gives an exhortation. Amen. Be reverent. Just have faith. Just believe. Sometimes your faith is unconscious. You have it. And you don't know it. You are kidding me. You mean we could have this kind of great faith and not even know it's there? It's probably a good thing Brother Branham is not here physically now. Because our church and other churches like it would keep him in visions. He'd never get out. We'd keep him because we got so much confidence and faith in the gift and seeing the word what it is. We'd never let the poor man have a minute of free time. God, why? We believe. Do we not? We believe. What if we could do that if he was here? What about our God who is here? If we can get our faith from the spot of being conscious faith, working up, working until the word said, oh, the Bible said, I believe the message, I believe. Don't you see what you're doing? You're fixing to jump right over it by trying to psych yourself up. Many people have faith subconsciously and doesn't know it. Isn't this so strange? Isn't this so strange of what most of us probably believed? Let me go on. You don't have to have super faith. How did you come here? How do you know that you're going to leave? How can you drive your car? How do you know you can move your hand? Well, you just subconsciously do it. Because you believe you can do it. And that's the way believing for your healing. It's just settled. And that's all. It doesn't take some high education, some super duper something. It takes common faith in God. Just believe like you would. If your mother said she would get something for you, just believe it like that. Whoa, now that's way too simple for us. So if one of your mothers tell your children or your grandchildren, if you be good, I'll get you thus and so. Isn't it amazing how they can forget the whippings that you promised them or other things, but they sure don't forget that doll. But they don't forget what it... Now you promised, Poppy. Toys are us, remember? Grandparents are us and toys are us seem to go hand in hand, don't they? And you know what? They believe that. They'll talk about it. They'll pick out what color they want. They've got it in their hand as far as they're concerned. All they're waiting is for the material manifestation, and they know once you get done eating, you're going to get that. Can you imagine if we could have that kind of faith? And they'll sit there and talk, okay, honey, I promised you I'll get it. Can we eat? Okay? Can we eat? Poppy, but you, yes, I promised you I'll get you whatever the thing it is that they're wanting. Okay, all right, let's eat. All right, I'm sitting there eating. But Poppy, will you? Yeah, I told you, yes. Oh my, what if we could be that way? When we have a need and our Father said, yes, my God will supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. And we're sitting here in church. Now, Father, you promised it. I believe it. I'm going to get it. Yes, sir. I know I'm going to get it. Oh my, so subconscious and we just know it's real. I'm signing the check right now. It's already run through heaven. I'm fixing to get it. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, my Lord, thank you, Father. You see, if God could ever teach us by His Word, get the first conscience and the subconscious line together, what a powerful thing. Brother Bram says, ask, several pages over, brothers. God's preparation, paragraph E3. If I'd asked perhaps 99 out of every 100 here tonight, you believe Jesus Christ can heal? Yes, without a shadow of a doubt, they believe it. Jesus said, if you believe it, you'll receive it. But that's just conscience believing it. Now you got a subconscious, and that's got to act too. So conscience, you believe, brother. I believe with all my heart. Then they come to be prayed for, walk out and believe the promise of God. The man down in the engine room, oh my. Like a man crossing the sea, being going to the ship. The man who runs the ship or guides it sets up in the pilot house. And the man who runs the ship goes down to the bowels of the ship, down the hull. He's the engineer. No matter how much this guy says up here, this is the guy that does the work. That's your subconscious. Oh, yes. This man has to do the running of it. No matter how much he does the guiding, it won't do a bit of good until you become steamed down here or get some pressure pulling it. Now watch what doctors say. The conscience and the subconscious mind can make a great team if you use them together. The first can handle some task, then assigns them to the second, while the second can send feedback and messages about the task in the form of emotions to the first. What a complex thing that God made you. So you start learning, as I said, when we first started this about driving a car. Y'all remember when you first started driving? Am I doing okay, Daddy? Yeah, you're doing good. 5 miles an hour in a Walmart parking lot. You're doing great. Look over here. I can't. But then you get to where you can. You get more confident now. You're smiling. Is that better? Yeah, you're up to 7. Now you're doing great. Then you get to where you can drive, you can turn, you can be on your cell phone, do all these sort of things. Why? Because that learned behavior was committed to the subconscious. You say, do I need it? Yes. If not, when you went to sleep tonight, you would die. Your heart rate, your metabolism, your blood pressure. Many of these things God committed to that subconscious. So when you go to sleep, thank God it keeps functioning. Do you understand? Your subconscious never goes to sleep. Consider it a gigantic recorder that records every image. Doctors say every image, every word you ever hear, every image, every picture you ever see is recorded in that supercomputer. Lord, help us. Well, that scared some of you. Some of you ain't been awake all night, but that got you. Your subconscious mind is responsible for many of the emotions that you experience, the feelings of anxiety that you might experience before a presentation, and the inferiority feelings that make you feel less worthy than others, in addition to other emotions stem from the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is also responsible for involuntary actions like reflex actions, fight or flight response, even the movement of your hand muscles while writing. Do you understand that people who study handwriting can have you to sit down and write freely now, not thinking about it? They can tell a great deal about your personality by your handwriting. Why? It's from your subconscious. But now if you, from your first conscience, you're aware of that, you'll write different. But if you just sit down and you write from your subconscious and they take that and they can look at it and they can tell a lot about the way you are, but whether you dot your I or smudge your I, cross your T or roll your L or whatever you do, you're hid in those words. Let me put these things away. Any good? Understanding me. Anybody here want to understand you better? You cannot believe the emails and the texts that I got this week from last week's service of people expressing how they were treated as children, things their parents said, things that were done to them. But what I found amazing over and over again from one to the other was a consistency of saying that they held no hard feelings against their mother and or father or grandparent or aunt or uncle. And I thought, that's it. That's it. That we're able to see, but we hold no hard feelings. And I'm going to tell you the truth of it. Some of you needed to hear this so you could forgive those in your past who have not done you right. You say, I'm 70-some years old. What's my subconscious do? For some of you, it's not just to learn about your subconscious. It's to get rid of hatred. It's to get rid of a feeling that's been inside you. A grudge against your daddy, your mother, an aunt, an uncle, a boss that inflicted something on you. It's your first job you ever had. Somebody calling you stupid or ignorant or whatever. Remember, it lays so deep within the subconscious. Remember the woman who committed adultery and on her husband, and Brother Branham kept praying and praying, and the Lord showed her, and he tells her what there in the living room in his house, said, I see you crossing a railroad track in a certain color little Chevrolet car. Your husband is during the war. Don't tell that. It shocked that woman so much she passed out. And when she come to again, Brother Branham told her, said, that was not your first. She said, I hadn't thought of that in years. He said it lay in your subconscious. Can you imagine? It was so far from her that her first conscience hadn't even recalled that to memory in years. But it laid in her subconscious. He said, you need to make that right. She said, I asked God to forgive me. He said, you didn't commit adultery against God. You committed adultery against your husband. That he's got the same thing he needs to make right with you. Not my husband. He's a deacon in such and such a church. Go get him and come here. Well, glory. Let me tell you something, friend. A prophet ain't here to discern our heart, but the word still is. Whew. Let's pray together. My. Lord Jesus, how I thank you for these things, Lord. I want to understand me greater. I want to understand me more clearly. Help the people, Father. Many of them have been held back for years for things. Some of them got hurt by preachers years ago. And they still don't even trust me to this day. In their conscience, they've convinced themselves they do. But in their subconscious, they don't. Lord, many of them got hurt by a parent. Some of these women got hurt sexually. Since then, they've never trusted another man, not even the man they call their husband. Heal us, Lord. Heal us of our deep wounds. As I sat at my computer this week and read the emails and things that I'd received from people in different parts of the world,
from hearing the services. I couldn't keep from crying. I just felt so sorry for so many of the people. As I preached many, many years ago in a convention in Edmonton, my, some of the deepest preaching I'd ever heard. But you put a very simple thought on my heart the very last night. Many of the people here have heard it on the thoughts of scarred human beings. I wrestled and wrestled and wrestled with that thing because the sermons had been so deep by the other brothers. You know me, I'm not a deep guy. So I wouldn't even go eat. I stayed in the room. I was just so tore up. In about 10 minutes under your anointing, I realized I had your mind for that night, Lord. And I seen you go to dealing with people. I'd had a prayer line on Friday night. Brother Hildebrandt told me as I finished the service, have a prayer line. I said, are you sure? He said, have a prayer line. I said, we just had one. He said, have a prayer line. We had three prayer lines going at one time because there were so many people. So many hurting people. Many outstanding ones, Lord. The little old sister up in her 80s, they had to help her up to come up there. And I was the one to pray for. She could barely talk. Her voice quivered. Her hands shaking. Now I understand why I've always felt this way. And why I thought my daddy hated me after he did what he did to me. Thank you for obeying God. Lord Jesus, many of the message people are such a hurting people. Heal us inside, Lord. Not just our bodies, not just our limbs, but our soul, our spirit, our subconscious, Lord God. Heal us and set us free so we can love again. So we can live again. So we can trust again. And Lord. Lord Jesus. I bind Satan's evil forces. Glory! Lord God, in the name of Jesus. May the Spirit of God go to this congregation. Those that are streaming or will. May the Holy Ghost come right there in their home, in their car, in their office. Lord, heal the brokenhearted. Heal the afflicted, the wounded, not of body so much, but of spirit. That thing laying in their subconscious that they've poured over. Maybe they've hid it so far from their first one, they haven't even remembered it in years. Bring healing, Lord, so we can love again. So we can trust again. So we can enjoy life again as Christians. Grant it, Lord God. Hallelujah. I stand here tonight as a witness, Lord, of one who can testify. The Almighty can heal one who's been hurt so deeply. And scars left that if pondered over would cause one to hate. But oh God, I thank you that you've helped me to see loving anyone is risky. But being lonesome is worse. Being lonesome, having no friends and no love is worse than the risk of loving. Help us, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, as they have broke into this, and Brother Branham said it years ago, as he would tell people, the doctors and those who study such things say with the subconscious, the way in order to reprogram and get yourself in a different way is with short, positive affirmations. Not great complex lines and paragraphs, but just short, positive affirmations. No wonder Brother Branham would say, do you believe in healing? With all of my heart. He is my Savior. I am His. He is mine. Short, positive affirmations. Hallelujah! No wonder He would tell them, say it over and over and over again until you begin to believe it. Hallelujah! You are my healer. You are my Savior. You are my Redeemer. I will love. I will trust. I'm going in the rapture. Hallelujah! I'm part of the bride. I'm part of the resurrection, Lord. Help us, I pray, Father. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word, Lord. Hallelujah to God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Sing something for us, Harry. You remember in the Old Testament when the prophet was all out of humor and he couldn't get in the channel of the Spirit of God and the call for someone not to read the scroll, not to read quotes, but for someone with a minstrel. And they began to play music, and when they did, it moved the prophet's spirit. And once his spirit got straightened out, then the word of the Lord was able to come to him. This is why we sing when we come in, to prepare our hearts. Now we've heard the word, let's sing again and water what we've heard. Let's ask these minstrels, as they will play and minister back to our spirit, to be able to create a symphony of supernatural harmony between us and the Almighty. Now you understand about a symphony, surely. A symphony is written by different people who understand such. I don't understand nothing hardly about it at all. I can't read music. I play by ear, as they call it. So only thing I know about music is that treble clef at the very beginning. After that, I'm kind of lost. From there on over, I'm in the dark. But I know enough about it to be able to know that Wisset can carry ministration. Do you understand that they place plants under rock and roll music? No words, music alone. Within a certain amount of hours, the plants begin to wither. By leaving them plants under the influence of that music, after a certain amount of days, the plants actually started pulling away, trying to get away from the speakers playing this rock and roll music. After days on end, the plants absolutely died. They placed similar plants in a laboratory under Mozart, Beethoven. They call it the Mozart effect. They placed them under that. They got bigger. They growed. They outdone the others. Not only that, but they leaned toward the speakers where the music was coming out. Now, Mozart and Beethoven and those guys, just having the ability to write that type of music, could do that to a plant. What could Holy Ghost minstrels do that are anointed in the Spirit of God? What could they do to trees? Trees! The trees of the Lord are full of sap. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's worship Him a little bit now.
For He touched me.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, He touched me.
Hallelujah. Oh, let Him touch you tonight, friends. Whatever you need. In your soul, in your spirit, in your subconscious. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. By the music, by the words. Hallelujah. Let's sing the first verse now. I was shackled by a heavy burden. He needs a load of guilt. Thank you. touched me. Yes, Lord God. And they can say right here tonight, He's touched you. And go. Explain it, but something wonderful happened. And now, oh, He touched me. And made me whole. I'm learning to aren't you glad you are? I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm glad finally, after all these years, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Once again, oh, the bride is learning to lead. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord God. Learning to lead on. Somebody going to be baptized tonight. I'm not sure who it is, but Brother Horn, just give me. Who? Daniel Yance. Okay. All right. If he'll come and prepare for that. Brother Terry, you going to do it? Okay. Daniel Yance, if he'll come and prepare for that baptism? Huh? No water. We can't air dry it, can we? Got to have water. In the morning. All right. In the morning, Daniel. Sorry, buddy. Praise the Lord. Well, ain't it been good to be in the house of the Lord? Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let it rain, Harry. Brother Branham described to us two kinds of rain. Spoken Words Original C. The morning rain and the evening rain. The teaching rain and the more rain. Teaching rain that would be the more rain that would come and teach in places. And then the harvest rain would be rapturing faith. I believe we've been rained on for a long time. I want to get ready for that rapture rain, don't you? Praise God. God bless you, saints. Service in the morning at 11. Come expecting the Lord to speak to us again. Let's sing it as we go. God bless you. I love you with all my heart.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let